Well, hey, friends, it is great to see you today. I hope you're doing well in this March. It's starting to warm up here, at least in Charlotte. My name's Clay, and I get the honor of being one of the lead pastors here at Next Level, and I just want to say welcome to you wherever you're watching from, whether you're here in Charlotte where it's great weather, or maybe you're somewhere else around the country where maybe the weather's not that great. Either way, we're glad that you are with us. And if you've been watching us for a while, one simple way that you can help us accomplish our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play is to simply like and subscribe to this channel wherever you're watching that from. And as always, if you find today's message helpful, and you probably will, there's some good stuff in here, I would love it if you would just share it with someone. Before we get going, though, real quick, I had this up, Easter. Want to just say that I'm excited. Beginning this Easter, on Easter Sunday, April the 4th, we're going to be adding back our second in-person service, so at 11 o'clock. So if you're ready to come back and join us, you can have two options. You can come at 9:30 or you can come at 11. And hey, I'm really excited to be getting back to something that's a little normal, and I would love to see you there. Well, today we're continuing in our series on how to enjoy the rest of your life. But before I go there, I want you to pull out your homework from last week. I want you to take that list of people, you know, that you talked about influencing, and you want to be able to influence on all that we talked about last week. And at the end, I'm going to give you another homework assignment regarding that list. So go ahead and pull that list out, sit it there next to you. Now, a few months back, as I was contemplating this series on encouragement, I was at the line in the grocery store, and as luck would have it, I had chosen the wrong line again, meaning it was taking far longer to get through this line than all the other options that I had that I could have chosen to get through. But while I was in that line, I began to observe the body language of the woman who was checking out the person in front of me. And from that, I could just tell that she was having a tough day. She looked weary, like it had perhaps been a long day or something was on her mind. She just looked worn out and ready to go home. And in an instant, I heard the voice of God speak to me about encouraging her and telling her very specifically that he loved her. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, this was kind of a wrestling match in my mind, because despite what you may think, I'm just not that much of an extrovert, and this was going to be one of those really hard things for me. So as I approached the counter, I muscled up all the strength that I could, and I said to the cashier, "Hey, I just want you to know that God loves you, and he wants you to know that not every day is going to be as hard as this day." And there was kind of this moment of silence, and I held my breath, not sure how this kind of strange and bold proclamation was going to be received. And to my surprise, the cashier became teary and cried and said, "Thank you so much. I really needed that. That made my day." And the cashier proceeded to check out the rest of my groceries, and the whole time she's doing it, you could just see through the mask that she was wearing this huge smile that had come across her face. And that simple grocery store encounter has served as kind of a reminder for me on how people all around us are discouraged, carrying heavy loads, burdened, and in need of some sort of encouraging word. Discouragement is common. We all get discouraged. It's powerful, and it doesn't just happen one time in your life. So some of you are watching this today feeling discouraged about something that's been happening and ongoing in your life. Well, today, we're going to look at a story that both illustrates the causes and the cures of discouragement, and it teaches us what to do when you feel like giving up. So if you've been discouraged, you picked up on a good week. This is just a great week to be watching, and we're glad that you're here. Now, the story we're going to look at is found in a book in the Old Testament called Nehemiah. It's actually found in chapter 4 of Nehemiah, and the background of the book of Nehemiah is that after 70 years in captivity in Babylon, the Jewish people are now being allowed to return to their capital city, Jerusalem. And when they get back to the city, they find it in ruins. But what was needed before they could rebuild the city was they needed to rebuild the torn down wall that was around the city. And then once they were protected by the wall, then they could begin to rebuild everything else. Now, Nehemiah tells us that everybody worked very hard at the start, and they rebuilt the wall to about half of its original height. Then the initial enthusiasm wore off, and they got discouraged. And they got discouraged because of four very common causes of discouragement. And I think as we go through the passage today, you're going to see in yourself maybe all four, or at least one or two, maybe all four, of these causes of discouragement. So let's pick up the story of Nehemiah in chapter 4, and you will jump down and we'll start reading in verse 6 where it says this. Nehemiah says this: "So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half of its height, for the people worked with all their heart." And before we look at the four common causes of discouragement, I want you to see something very first. When does discouragement set in? Right? When do they start getting discouraged? It sets in when they're halfway done. It's pretty typical for discouragement to set in at the halfway point. Not at the beginning, not at the end, but you generally get discouraged right in the middle of whatever it is that you're doing or whatever it is that you're in. You ever been in a painting project, like painting an entire room or painting your house? Halfway through the painting project, you go, "Oh man, we still got half to go, and then we got to clean up." Maybe halfway through college, right, you start thinking, maybe I'm not fit for college. Or halfway through the school year, you go, "This isn't over yet." Halfway through your career, halfway through your marriage, halfway through your life. That's why it's called the midlife crisis. That's when discouragement often sets in. Sometimes you have it in little areas, but sometimes you have it in big areas. Now, in this story, we have a very clear example of the kinds of things that cause discouragement. And here's what those things are. The very first one is when something takes longer than I expected. When something takes longer than I expected, that causes fatigue, right? Now, in this story, the builders had worked very, very hard, and there's a lot of physical work. They're physically exhausted, they're weary, they're worn out, they're tired, right? And so if we pick up, we jump down to verse 10 in our reading today. It says, "Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, 'The strength of the laborers is giving out.'" Some of you, I imagine you've been saying that this week. I'm tired. My strength is giving out. I can't keep this pace. And the problem is that when you're tired, when you're worn out, and you can't even think straight, study after study has concluded that the number one cause of discouragement is physical and emotional exhaustion. When you're tired, you're much more vulnerable to the kinds of things, the kinds of attacks that come from other people and criticism. It tends to affect you more. When people say things about you and you're full of energy and vitality and vigor, well, it doesn't bother you that much. But when people say things about you when you're tired, honestly, it gets to you. And when you're exhausted, you start to lag behind, and that's when the enemy is going to attack you. And one of the main sources of our enemy's attack is discouragement. And fatigue makes you vulnerable. So the first cause of discouragement is when things take longer than expected. The second cause for discouragement is when something is more complicated than you expected, right? And that creates frustration. In other words, you start out on a project and you discover it's not only going to take longer, it's a whole lot harder than I thought it would be. It's a whole lot more complicated. And how long a project takes can cause fatigue, but how complicated a project is can cause frustration. And both fatigue and frustration certainly can cause discouragement. The second setback that the people faced in Jerusalem, it was not only taking too long building this wall, but it was way more complicated, and there was just way too much junk and trash laying around than they had accounted for. Look again at the last part of verse 10. It says, "There is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." They're discouraged because all of the tasks that are sitting in front of them, they are frustrated by all of the details. You ever tried to clean out, maybe you got an old file cabinet, I don't have this in my office, you try to clean out your files? If so, what you do is you sit down and you dump all the files out on the floor in your office and you work at it for a few hours, right? Going through all the files, and then you go, "What? This is just crazy." And then you just take all the files, you dump all the papers back in the files and you shove them back in the drawer where they came from, right? What happened? Well, you got discouraged. It's just more complicated. You were having to make too many decisions. And any time that you try to build anything, a career, a plan, a project, a life, a hobby, a family, a marriage, anytime you try to build anything, you're going to get frustrated because things take longer than you expect, and things are more complicated than you expect, and that can cause discouragement. Well, the third cause for discouragement is when I start to doubt my own ability. When I start to doubt my own ability, that's when fear and failure set in. When I start to doubt my own ability, this causes this deep sense of fear or failure. And now when you add to that fatigue, it's taking too long, and frustration, it's just too complicated, you start having a whole sense of failure. Well, now it's going to get serious, right? Like, I'm going to get discouraged. Look at how the Message translates the last part of Nehemiah 4:10. It says, "We're in over our heads. We can't build this wall." The New American Bible translation says, "We will never be able to finish this wall." What happened? They already built half of it. Why all of a sudden have they lost their confidence? Now they're filled with self-doubt. Now they're questioning, why did we even start this? You know, like, it was even foolish to think that we were going to do this. I mean, they're halfway done. You ever felt that way? Why did I take this job? Why did I get married? Why did I make this move? You start second-guessing yourself. You start doubting yourself. You start filling yourself with feelings of fear and failure. Like, I can't do this. You lose your confidence. You start feeling like you're a failure because of the frustration and the fatigue, and you're afraid. Now, as a pastor who loves you, let me ask you a real important question. How do you handle fear? How do you react when your plans collapse? How do you react when it's taken longer than you thought or it's more complicated than you thought? And you start doubting, do I even have the ability to do this? What do you do? I know for a lot of us, the way that we handle our fear, if we're honest, is with heavy doses of discouragement. We start surrounding ourselves with others who are afraid, who begin to speak things that are fearful. I want you to notice something in this story. Look at the Message translation of verse 11 and 12, where it says, "And all this time our enemies were saying, they won't know what hit them. Before they know it, we'll be at their throats, killing them right and left. That will put a stop to the work." The Jews, who were their neighbors, kept reporting, "They have surrounded us. They're going to attack. If we heard it once, we heard it 10 times. Notice in this who got discouraged first. It was those who were listening to the enemy, those who were listening to the wrong people. They weren't listening to God. They were listening to all the other people in the world that were all around them. Now, I want you to listen to me very closely. If you're discouraged, if you keep hanging out with negative people, if you keep constantly listening to negative podcasts or watching negative news shows and listening to negative chatter on social media, well, guess what? It's going to infect you with fear. It's going to affect you negatively. Some of you need to go on a diet from negativity. Stop filling your minds with negative words. Stop listening and contemplating all the negative that's outside. All it is doing is filling you with discouragement and fear and failure. And if you don't cut it off now, it's only going to grow. So, with all of this said, what's God's cure when you feel like giving up? When you're at the halfway point in a project, in your life, in your marriage, or whatever, where do you find the strength and the motivation to finish whatever God has started in you? Well, the Bible says this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, "Be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to the day of completion in Jesus Christ." How do I keep going on when I feel like giving up? Well, I'm glad you're thinking that question, because you do the three things that Nehemiah did when he led the people to finish the wall. And here are the things that he did. If you do these same things to turn the setbacks from fear and frustration, fatigue, failure, into a comeback. So, with the time I have left, I want to talk about battling against discouragement. How do we fight it? And then I want to give you another homework assignment. Yeah, we're going to do something else together. So the first thing that Nehemiah did is the very first thing that you need to do, and that is this: rethink whatever's not working. Just rethink it. Maybe it's something in your life. Maybe it's something in your family. Maybe it's something in your business, in your job. You may be doing the right thing, but in the wrong way. A lot of times when we get discouraged, at what we're doing, we'll say, well, I must be doing the wrong thing. No, you may be doing the right thing. You're just doing it in the wrong way. And God says, look, I want you to do it differently. Keep doing what you're doing, just do it differently. This is how it plays out in the story that we're reading through today. In verse 13, it says, this is again Nehemiah talking, so I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed areas, and I stationed people to stand guard by families armed with swords, spears, and bows. So basically, Nehemiah says, okay, guys, we got enemies who want to attack us, so here's what we're going to do. Half of you are going to do the work, and the other half of you are going to stand guard, and then we will switch, and we'll do the other. And the half of you will do the work on the wall, and the other half will guard. So what he's doing, he's just coming up with a new plan. They didn't give up on the goal. They're still going to build the wall. They just devised a new strategy. Now, here's the point. Whatever you're discouraged at right now doesn't necessarily mean you need to stop doing. It doesn't mean you're doing the wrong thing. It may mean you're doing it in the wrong way. Nehemiah said, look, we got to change the way we're doing things. And maybe you need to change the way you're doing things. Maybe you need to change your schedule. Change the way you're doing your diet. Change the way you're relating to people. Don't give up on the dream. First, just take a look at it from a different direction. Surround yourself with people that will encourage you to do those things. Well, the second thing that Nehemiah did, and the thing that we can do as well, is they began to focus on God, all right? They looked at everything that was going on. They looked at their discouragement, and they were focused on God. Verse 14, again, then, this is Nehemiah saying, then as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is our great and glorious. Nehemiah says, you know what? We've been so busy working for God, we've forgotten God. Has that ever happened in your life? Have you ever forgotten the Lord that you're trying to serve? What you need to do is you need to focus on God. You need to draw on spiritual resources. Nehemiah said this, remember the Lord. What do I remember when I'm discouraged? Well, there's kind of real three things, and I go through this in my whole life. I remember God's goodness to me in the past, okay, so what he's done for me in the past, God's closeness to me in the present, and God's power for me in the future. I get my mind off of the discouraging circumstances, and I remember God's goodness to me in the past, God's closeness right now, and God's power for the future. And remember that your thoughts determine your feelings. Discouragement, honestly, is a feeling. If you want to change your feelings, you change what you think about. Okay? Now, the third thing for fighting against discouragement is to resist the discouragement. I'm just plain resistant. This is your choice. You are going to have to fight it. Resist the discouragement. You don't give in to the discouragement. Again, the second part of verse 14 says this, Then I told them, fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your homes. In other words, what he's saying is, don't you dare give in without a fight. And friends, we are in a spiritual battle. We're in warfare every day of our life. We don't live on a playground. We live on a battleground. And as believers, we're called to engage in the spiritual battle of our everyday life. And ultimately, it's already won. But there are battles that go on, skirmishes every day. And we're in a supernatural struggle. And an old reference, we're in mortal combat. Satan is called the accuser of believers, and he's accusing you every day, and he would love to neutralize your effectiveness by discouraging you. And his two favorite weapons are distraction and discouragement. Distraction to kind of get you off focus, and discouragement. James chapter 4, verse 7 says this, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We are at war with negative thoughts, negative forces, negative emotions that want to keep us from developing our potential for God. And you have a choice. You don't have to listen to those discouraging thoughts. It's your choice. You can fight them. The difference between great people and ordinary people is this. Great people simply refuse to be discouraged. Great people are just ordinary people with an extraordinary amount of determination. Now, honestly, I am not that smart. I'm not that talented, but there's one thing that I've learned. I don't know how to quit. I never, never, ever, ever, ever give up. When things go wrong, I don't give up. And if God wants to use you, you cannot give up. Even when you're fatigued, even when you're frustrated, even when you're fearful, you must choose to keep going. Even when you're going through hell, just keep going, right? And maybe what God wants to say to you is keep going. Rethink what's not working, focus on God, resist that discouragement, and then the very last thing that I want to say to you is this. Encourage those that are around you. Encourage the people that are around you. Nehemiah, he went on to finish the wall, and there were a lot more skirmishes, there were a lot more logistical issues to work through, and there were discouraged people that had to be encouraged. But Nehemiah set the example for everyone around him. And at the end of chapter 5, as the wall is finally being completed, he says this in chapter 5, verse 19. Remember, O my God, all that I have done for these people, and bless me for it. Remember what I've done. Remember what I've done for these people. Those are powerful words. As we said last week, God wants to use you as an agent of encouragement for someone in your life. And what I've noticed is that when I take the time to encourage somebody else, God finds a way to encourage me. And speaking of encouraging people, here's this week's homework assignment. I want you to take that list. Go ahead and pull that list of people out. Go ahead, just set it in front of you. And let me put this slide up as a refresher. This is the list of people that we're working off of. Your oikos, your people inside of your influence that are here. Now, you should have on that list all the people that are in these categories, inside your sphere of influence. And if you're like me, you were looking at that list, and there are a lot of names on it. And you, as you were creating, you were probably thinking, there's no way that I can encourage all of these people. And if you were thinking that, well, you're right. Remember, we said one of the contributors to discouragement is when something is more complicated than expected. So here's what I want to do. I want to simplify this list for you. So my homework for you is to look at that list and ask God to show you who can come off of your list. And I just want you to cut your list in half. Now, for some of the extreme introverts who only have one name on the list, I want you to pray about doubling it to two. But for the rest of us, we're going to cut that list in half. Half the names need to come off. And this is all we're going to do with the list this week. But keep it close by, because we're going to do something with it yet again next week. So that's for next week. But before we leave today, I want to just say something really briefly to anyone who's watching today who's feeling discouraged. I just want you to know that your Heavenly Father is fighting for you. Maybe you need to be reminded that He loves you unconditionally. He's never stopped loving you, and He will never love you any more or less than He does right now. And I know some of you are probably just barely hanging on, and I just want you to know I'm praying for you. So what I want to say to you is this: don't give up, look up. Don't give up, look up. The answer may just be right around the corner. And just like I shared in last week's message, the words that my friend kept telling me at the darkest time in my life, I want to say those words to you now. The story that you are in right now, it's just a chapter in your life, right? And it may be an ugly chapter, but one day you will be in a better chapter. The problem that's in your life right now, it didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Tough times, they never last, but tough people do. And Jesus can give you that inner strength. He can give you the power that you need to make a difference. Hey friends, let me pray for you right now. Father, I know that there are a lot of people who are discouraged today because of fear, because of frustration or failure, fatigue. And some are tired and worn out. And some are feeling like it's taken longer than I thought it would take. And maybe some are thinking, man, this is more complicated than I ever thought it would be. And some are scared. Think, I might lose my job. I might lose my life. There are all kinds of fears that come into our life. And now, I want you, friends, to pray this with me. Father, help me focus on you. Help me remember your goodness to me in the past. I want to know that you are with me right now. I want to remember that you're going to give me the power in the future. And Lord, I need the strength to not give up on what I'm doing, but to do it in a new way so I'm not so frustrated or even afraid. Help me to see what is in my life that is discouraging me. And as I'm encouraged by you, lead me to whomever you would lead me to so that I can be an encouragement to them as well. And Jesus, is in your name we pray. Amen. Well, hey, friends, before you head out in your day today, I just want to ask you once more to take your list out, the people in your oikos and the people you've been praying about taking off your list. Maybe just pray about that and pray in cutting that list in half. I just want you to cut all the names in half. And once again, I can't overstate the importance of this step, as we're going to use this as further steps in week 3 and week 4 in this series. So would you do that? Pull that list out, cut those names in half. And if you think today's message might be valuable to someone you know, would you mind sharing this video? Not only could it be helpful for them, but it's also, by sharing this content and liking and subscribing to this channel, you're helping us accomplish our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus. And along those lines, could I also ask you to head over to our website at nextlevelchurch.org/give and choose one of those giving options that's there. Friends, every dollar that you give, make sure that your church is prepared more than ever to fund the mission to raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play, as we completely exist on the giving of people like you. Now, by way of benediction, let me read to you yet again the words we did last week from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, where it says, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." May you, this week as you head out, may you choose encouragement over discouragement. May you know that whatever you're going through today, one day, it'll just be a story you tell. May you choose to write a better story. Hey guys, have a blessed week. Please do that homework assignment, cut those names in half, and we'll see you next week. We'll see you every day this week as well on all of our social channels, Facebook, Instagram, and all of that. Just know that I love you and I'm praying for you.